Mind Your Language, written and read by Helen Oakwater. Your birth mother could not look after any baby. Has a very different feel to your birth mother could not look after you. My remark when speaking to a group of adopters recently was for some their biggest aha of the evening. Language is powerful. Despite its ability to heal or hurt, destroy or create, confuse or clarify, connect or separate, frustrate or enlighten, calm or aggravate, we toss words around like confetti on a windy day. The generalization of any rather than the specific you shifts the focus from the baby's situation to the adult's capabilities. It transforms perceptions of an experience. It allows a child to see he was not a bad baby, which generates shame, but an innocent with deeply inadequate parents. He did not cause the neglect or abuse. Responsibility lay with the adults who failed to protect him. It was not his fault. That transformation is generated by changing one single word. The message sent does not equal the message received. How many times have you heard someone say, "That's not what I meant"? An inconvenient truth is that the meaning of a communication is the response it elicits. Where did the message land? How was it received? What was heard? How did the listener respond? Is the broadcaster on the same wavelength as the receiver? Frequently, the message sent is not the message delivered. The receiver processes data unconsciously, running his own filters, focusing on some bits and not noticing others. He's not intentionally misinterpreting or deliberately ignoring. However, that's how it might look to the speaker. A good communicator steps into the shoes of the recipient and wonders, what does that person know? How do they think? What matters to them? What stops them hearing? How can I best get that message across? When preparing a presentation, I wonder, what would offend this audience? What do I presume they already know? How open are they to this message? What are their expectations? How can I create rapport with them? If only I was so thoughtful in all my conversations. A carefully considered response, rather than unedited words cascading from my lips, would be better. Possibly, at tricky times, a prepared phrase, well rehearsed, might generate a preferable response. How many of us do that with our children? How many of us plan how we would behave or respond in certain scenarios? Should we? Would it be useful? Planning beats improvisation. When dealing with children, an outstanding communicator will consider the child's level of functioning, their emotional age, their processing ability, their capacity to hold information in their mind while performing another task, their executive functioning skills, their level of tiredness, amongst many other things. If that adult, whether teacher, parent, therapist, had previously thought it through, the outcome might be very different. Remember, the meaning of a communication is the response it elicits. And by the way, the best-selling How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk by Faber and Maslisch is invaluable. Subordination conjunctions. One particular challenge for our kids are subordination conjunctions, which are words which connect an event or action to a point in time. For example, when, since, after, before, until, as, while, once, as soon as. Here are some examples. Before you go out to play, put your coat on. You can't go cycling until after lunch. As soon as you finish your homework, you can get a biscuit. As it's raining, you can watch TV, then turn it off when Gran arrives. Since you didn't tidy your toys, you can't play with your Xbox after tea. Each phrase requires the listener to do some mental rearranging and put tasks in the correct sequence before taking actions. And some include negatives, which further heightens confusion. Young children and many older ones with limited executive functioning skills can't process such instructions and appear to disobey. Consequently, shame and stress levels rise, emotional regulation skills plummet, and before you know it, they are, technically speaking, off on one. Traumatized children frequently struggle with time and sequencing. We must help them with transparent instructions, diagrams, simple language, keeping it positive, and modeling appropriate behavior. Here are some alternative instructions. Instead of, before you go out to play, put your coat on, say, put your coat on, you can show or help them, now you can go out to play. Instead of the negative, you can't go out cycling until after lunch, say, first lunch, second cycling. Instead of, as soon as you've finished your homework, you can get a biscuit, say, let's do the homework together. Instead of, as it's raining, you can watch TV, then turn it off when Gran arrives, say, TV until 5:30, when the big hand is on the 6. And since you didn't tidy your toys, you can't play with your Xbox after tea, which has negatives, say, let's tidy your toys together. Don't think of a blue tree. Gotcha. The brain can't think in negatives. It has to go to that visual thing, the blue tree, before stopping doing it. So keep your instructions positive. Instead of, don't cross the road, say, stop at the curb. Instead of, don't jump on the sofa, say, both feet on the floor. Instead of, don't shout, say, indoor voice please. Instead of, don't forget, say, remember. Instead of, stop talking, say, quiet now. So catch yourself. Think ahead, be positive, watch your words, and mind your language.